Greetings, fellow traveler. As humanity awakens and evolves, we see change in every aspect of our lives. Let's consciously manifest our desires. I am Candace Craw Goldman, and this is New Earth Journey.
Hello and welcome. Today's March 15th, 2016, and this is episode 18 of New Earth Journey Radio. I am so excited, and I know I say that a lot, but I really, really am very excited about tonight's guest. Melena Oliver is a former client of mine, and she's a QHHT explorer and a second wave volunteer, as described in Dolores Cannon's book, The Three Waves of Volunteers and the New Earth. And she's the author of the recently published book, Ancient Entanglements, which is the story of a couple of QHHT sessions. And she's also working on a forthcoming book called Living in the Light Vibration, which is a manual for awakening through vibrational and energetic change. Her book, Ancient Entanglements, is the story of an unexpected journey through QHHT sessions facilitated by yours truly. And it inspired the first of as yet to be created video series that I've been working on called See a Red Bird. And with the intent to get to the bottom of a childhood filled with fears and unexplained memories of extraterrestrials, Melena ended up journeying to an ancient intergalactic world on the brink of war. Its inhabitants revealed the difficult choices the civilization had to make, as well as limitless possibilities for a peaceful and luminous future for all beings near and far. And the quantum healing session also took Melena to her Arcturian home, a world that had changed dramatically from its origins because of that war. And through her journeys and the information that we discovered together during doing these QHHT sessions, she and I too learned about why ascension on Earth is so critical in our lifetime. Melena, welcome.
Thank you so much for that amazing introduction, and thank you for having me here. It's really exciting, and this whole journey with you has been quite the ride and quite exciting. So thank you for all of it, actually.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, I've said over and over again that I've had dozens, truly dozens, over the years, the 8 years I've been doing this, dozens of clients leave my studio saying, oh my God, I'm going to write a book about this. And I'm sure that some of them are working on it, and I know that they are, but you are the very first one who's published a book and who's come back to talk to me about it. So I'm just thrilled.
Thank you. I've done it kicking and screaming. Because who wants to talk about ETs? Everyone thinks they want to talk about ETs. It's fascinating. It's exciting. It's so cool. But when it happens to you and it's your life that's been affected by this, it's kind of a different story. So that has been a challenge, a personal challenge, to overcome a lot of that and just reveal all of it and just put it out there, because it is part of my story. And that hiding that is hiding every bit of my authenticity as to who I am and what has gone on in my life and my childhood and all of it, basically. Every little bit of it has been affected by it. So I can't say the book was easy to put out there, but there it is, and I'm happy it's there. And I'm beyond the personal me. There's a message for everyone, and that's what I love about it. And it's sharing to everyone how to grow and go beyond, you know, your own personal challenges and go into ascension. So it's on a lot of levels, I think.
Yeah. Yes, you know, there. I have to tell you, I have many clients who come to me who are experiencers or who think they are, And they have a lot of trepidation about sharing this information with others. And actually, I'm going to ask you about your story, but I do want to go ahead and mention the phone number. If we have any listeners who'd like to call in and ask you questions or ask me any questions about QHHT or quantum healing, Dolores Cannon's method, please feel free to call this number, 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Well, Milena, how about you just start at the beginning? I know this story, your story, starts when you're a very small child. Tell us the background about it all.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact first memory or experience because the very early on ones were very fuzzy. But there were all sorts of things going on in my supposed nighttime hours. And it just went on and on for years. And I was terrified to go to bed, to go to sleep, because one of three things would happen, or four things. One, I would actually go to sleep, which was rare. Two, I would astral travel, but I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know there was a name for it. And of course, I was terrified of that because all sorts of entities and creatures and things would be there. And I'd always feel paralyzed in the body, like something was sitting on my chest and all sorts of things like that. And then there was, regular bad dreams, which I had a few, but they were different. They were definitely not astral travels, or people or things or entities coming through as a child. And then there were the ET ones, which were unmistakable because I'd wake up with a smell in my body and in my nostrils and I was tasting it. And I'd wake up exhausted, even though I was supposed to be passed out the whole night long. And I was tormented for years. And then I felt like I was given three memories intentionally. One was terrifying. I was on a table in a round ship. I was on there were other creatures in the room and they were doing medical type things to me. I have a description of that in the book. And the second one, I was taken somewhere and I was shown, I was supposed to be a friend and I wasn't completely buying it, but, I felt like that was a very intentional trip to make me believe I was a friend of these beings. And then the third one was the one that haunted me throughout my lifetime and led me through inaction. And that's actually the memory that got me to Candace and through Sherry Wilde's book and all sorts of things. So I'll talk about that one mm-hmm. if that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tell us how that all happened for you.
Okay. So that memory, that wasn't the memory. That was the first time the first time that I was taken wherever I was taken or shown these things. I still had the smell in my nostrils. I was with three other creatures. I was 9 years old because I remember specifically my plea at the end of this. And I was like, but I'm nine. And the same thing happened to Sherry. The reason I discovered Sherry Wilde was because through Dolores, and I'll get Canon, and through QHHT, and I'll get to that quickly if I can. It's a whole bunch of things that weave in, so it's a little bit confusing. But anyway, Sherry had a memory that was almost exactly the same. It was her own version of it, but she was also nine, and she was told we both were taken to disasters on the Earth, and I wasn't sure if it was the Earth or if I was taken to another planet, and the entire thing was just burned and charred. That smell that was always in my nostrils was intensified. That was there, plus something that smelled like chemicals and everything burning, and all the trees were burned and all the land was burned. And there was fires off in the distance, and I stepped on this crusty ground and it was thick, and I kind of crushed through it, and there was this oily, dark sludge with charred ash underneath it. And I was told, you are to stop this from happening on Earth. And it was not a request. It was not a plea. It was, I can't really say a demand, but that's what it sounded like to me. And, of course, my 9-year-old self was like, what? No, I'm nine. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what to do. I can't do anything. So, yeah, that was my third memory. And after that one, there was no like waking up groggy in my bed. There was a crack, and then I was just sitting up wide awake in my bed from wherever I had been before. And it felt like this is to tell you, we're not kidding around. This is serious. You're here to do this and do it. And so there was no niceties, no making me wonder or forget or foggy, hazy memories about something that may have happened. So anyway, that brings me to a couple of years ago in the Transformation Conference. Just because I was so in fear of all of my childhood memories for decades. I mean, I was in my 40s. I'm in my 40s when I first read my first ET book, which was Dolores Cannon's, I think it was The Custodians. And that only happened because in the book that I read, she had regressed a woman who had an ET experience in Long Beach, California. And she described the same exact ET that a girlfriend of mine, one of my best friends, and I had been on a deserted beach road on Long Island, New York, on a Tuesday night. And we saw the exact same creature on the side of the road. And it threw what was a funnel of something towards the car. And even though we didn't lose any time, I had the split second memory missing. Like whatever happened to that sparkly substance that came out of the funnel, it should have either blown back in this ET's face. It should have come and hit the car. It should have, you know, maybe seen it trailing as we flew by. And I had no idea. I still had that minute memory missing. Like whatever happened to that sparkly substance. So the woman in Dolores's regression in Long Beach on the other side of the country on a deserted beach road on a weeknight, same exact thing, she hadn't missed any time either. And when she got regressed, she found out she was taken up into a ship, all of that. So that's how I was browsing through a book that I was still too afraid to read, saw that, bought the book, discovered Dolores, made it to a half of her transformation conference on the way home from a meditation trip and a family visit, and picked up Sherry's book, which had all of my childhood ET memories in it, almost word for word, and then subsequently met Candace the next morning.
That was such a great memory. You know, if I may, I'll bring in my memory because yes. Because I was at the same conference, of course, and Sherry was for me one of the most important people that I really wanted to get to know and meet and, you know, just spend a little bit of time with her. I thought her book was fabulous. I enjoyed her story so much. And she wrote the book called The Forgotten Promise, and she's just an amazing woman. And, you know, again, you two have very similar histories. But when she was giving her speech, I was absolutely compelled. I was seeing that she was wrapping up her speech, and I got up before she was even done thinking, I want to be one of the very first people standing in line at her table over in the author's table signing place next door, because I wanted, you know, I wanted to be right there, get my book signed by her and meet her like that. And so it was there that you and I met. So so I'm standing, and I think there was maybe just one person in front of me, and Milena is crouched down, and she is talking, you know, 1,000 miles a minute to Sherry, very breathless, and Sherry's being very sweet, and they were having this amazing conversation, and I couldn't help but overhear it, and I could tell, I could just feel it from you, that you were wanting to make a connection because you had similar experiences, and everything inside of me went,
being so generous.
Everything inside of me went, oh, this is why you needed to be right up here up front. And I kind of interrupted because Sherry's being so sweet. She's like, well, I have to sign these books, but then I'll talk to you. And that I interrupted both of you and said, maybe I can help you.
Yeah, it was, you're being very generous, because I, from the moment I picked up her book and I brought it home with me that night, I just browsed through it. I was actually purchasing a different book when I found hers. And then I saw her memory when she was 9 years old, which was so similar to mine. And then there were other things, like my car, when I was a teenager, I had a car that would just stop on the side of the road all of the time. and just start up whenever it felt like it. And we spent months, years trying to get this car fixed, trying to get it diagnosed. I spent a lot of money on an ignition module, and it still did this. And that is exactly what happened to Sherry. So I became a stalker. Candace is being very nice. I saw a version of me that I've never seen before that. I've never seen it again. And it became my sole purpose to talk to this woman. And so I completely overwhelmed her, and she was so gracious. I was in outside myself because I couldn't believe this woman had all my experiences in her book, and I wouldn't even talk about it for decades until that point. So yeah, so Candace and I knew that at that moment it was, and when I met Candace, I felt like, wow, I know this woman, and we're going to have lifetimes. It was like a future feeling. Like when you feel like you've met someone in the past, it was like that, but it was completely flipped. It felt like future. So I thought that was fascinating too. So we booked the session for a couple months later. And
you were like my instant friend.
Oh, it's amazing that way.
It's been really great. And we worked on that little video project together that I really hope, you know, it's kind of been languishing, waiting for funding, et cetera. But I hope we get back to that. And I'll put the link on the YouTube replay of this interview where everyone can go look at that too. But we'd like to make a actual video story of some of Milena's experience during the regression.
That'd be fantastic. I would love to be able to get behind that and work on that with you and move that forward. And hopefully at some point this will all come to that. But right now, it's going on for both of us. So I'm working on books, and you're, you know, plowing forward with all of the radio shows and all that. So it's been quite the progression, which I think we knew at that time. I think we knew that there was a lot of stuff coming.
Yeah, we did. So Milena and I got together as soon as we could, and so you were having a session to kind of fill in some of those holes. You know, what happened to that creature when he threw the sparkling stuff, and. And you were going to kind of figure out some of the things that happened to you when you were younger, and the regression wasn't exactly like what you thought.
Not even close. the first pages of this book, Ancient Entanglements, actually got written because up until this point, I did not want to read any other ET books. That's why I had to put Sherry's book aside. I just didn't want any of my memories to be, you know, construed or misconstrued or suggested or anything like that. I wanted them to remain exactly as they were. So for the session, for QHHT, Candace says, oh, well, I spend time and I speak with the clients and I talk through, you know, what they want to go into and their history. And so I felt it was a really good exercise for me before I did the regression to go back and see more, to write it from my perspective of everything that I remembered and everything that had happened. So the first pages of this book are pretty much untouched, and they're what I delivered to Candace upon entering for our first session. So along with that, I came with pages of questions. Of course, I had all of these questions, and when we got to it, we answered a few of them. But ultimately, the higher self took over and wanted to show me a very different world. And it wanted to show me a lifetime, which was, you know, time was, when I was back in the regression, time was not something that was easy to determine. I remember very specifically Candace asking the creature, the being, I shouldn't say creature, that I was in that lifetime, kind of a creature, how old am I, young or old? And I couldn't answer that question. I had no frame of reference. I remember saying, I'm wise, but I had no idea the time scale of things. So when I say I went back millions of years ago, that's what it felt like. But I honestly have no idea as far as the real scale, because as everyone says, there is no time. So that was...
Can you tell our listeners what that felt like? I love the way you described it in the book, because you really, although, you know, let's face it, you have a great imagination. You did a very good job of talking about how this was just a little bit different than that. Can you tell our listeners what it felt like when you were actually having the regression and watching what was in front of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've had a meditation practice for over 20 years, probably 23, 24, I don't know. I can't count at this point. And so when you go into meditation, you kind of push there's different forms of meditation, but I do dhyana. And you push the mind aside and you just, you know, watch it and images will come up. But when you're in that space and you can push your mind aside, well, you can go explore. There are other realms you can explore when you raise your vibration. There's other energies that come through. And although the yogis and the meditators don't always talk about that, they say that's the grace. Of course, if you're going to, I want to work on healing or I want to go see something, that's all possible. So when our session started, I told Candace, hey, I've been a meditator. I don't know how this is going to interact with what you normally do, but I can probably get to that place of no mind probably easier than people who don't have a meditation practice. And that's what's led me to analyze it. So as I start to go down into the regression, once I'm there, I'm not happy with what I'm seeing because I've got Star Wars unfolding before me, and I'm like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to know this part of me. This is not what I signed up for. I don't want more of this. I don't want to go deeper into an ET past. I want to get out of it. So that's what I was thinking. And so my mind was still watching, and there were some other things. But at some point, if you're going to stay in your mind, then you are using your imagination. But if you push the mind aside and you're in the experience of it, you can really just let it unfold before you. And there you are interacting and feeling. That was what was so prevalent to me. There were creatures and there were interactions and there was, you know, what looked like a courtroom below me, in front of me, in this pit where people were standing up talking about the future and what was going to happen. And we'll get into that in a few minutes. But more than hearing them or seeing them, I could feel every bit of it. And I think that's what was so fascinating through it. Because when you come out of the session, there's a lot of things I didn't even remember happening or saying or words that came through me, especially when Candace was talking to the higher self. And I had to listen to the recording and I'm like, wow, I vaguely remember that through the recording, but when you're in it, there's something else that's accessed. And I'm sure you know the terminology for this, and I don't. I just know it from my, my meditation state versus being in the mind. So being in the mind, making up stories, imagining things, yeah, I'm good at that. I'm creative, but that's not what this is. This is a whole other level of experience. It's just like when people question or wonder about my ET experiences. I'm like, no, it was never, ever a question for me whether they happened or not because I wasn't imagining it. If you're a child with an active imagination, you certainly know the difference. This mm-hmm. is something else. So that's what happens in when you go deep into, Candace, you want to talk about the states? I don't know what they are, but whatever the recesses are that take you to QHHT, you're in it. Mm-hmm. You can easily not be in it, but you are in it if you let go.
Well, you know, I only want to take about, because we're, believe it or not, we're already about halfway through the show, but I want just you to talk just for a moment about that, because a lot of people, they want to know how you let go, you know, and we always encourage encourage using the imagination because we consider it a springboard to the place where you went. But if you could just kind of say how you thought about, letting go to maybe help somebody in the future, you know, use their imagination to kind of get primed, but then to actually let go and step into the experience. I'd love to hear that.
I wish there was a switch. And I guess it kind of is that at some point, it's practicing, oh gosh, this is so talking about meditation for me because it's every day we're being pulled by the workings of our mind. We see this and we think this because of it. And like action, reaction, and the mind is constantly going into patterns and habits that it has from all of the energetic signatures we've picked up and reactions through our childhood and our lives and all of that. So at some point, to not follow all of that, the mind becomes a still place in the background and it's just kind of watching. If you really just don't visualize, you just see and let it come to you, feel like it's approaching you instead of you going forward towards it. That's kind of, I think it's in that receptivity and allowing it to happen rather than making it happen. A lot of people don't trust that. And that's the biggest challenge with changing belief systems. I'm talking about this. Actually, I'm writing a lot about this in the book that I'm doing now, which is the Living in Light Vibration book that you were talking about. It's really, how do we get past everything our mind tells us all day long? How do you just be receptive and be in that open place to allow for anything to happen and not question it? Just go with it and don't question it.
Well, sounds like we're going to have you on for more shows, because I know that we have lots of people who talk about this all the time. But Milena, why don't you tell us what that Star Wars scene was like? It's one of the most vivid memories. And, you know, I've had many, many clients over the years have ET and other dimensional kinds of experiences. But truly, yours was, it was so vivid, so detailed, so spectacularly real, even for me to this day. It seems like I was watching a movie with you. Will you tell our listeners what that was like, that scene where you were watching? You said it was kind of like a courtroom.
Yeah, so first I land in this parliamentary type building. It was not in the, I don't know, galaxy, not near my home planet, but it was a meeting space that was set up for all the different races to come and work out their differences. And the first thing is that I'm aware of a friend of the same race that I am. And they're there and I could feel them even though when they're not close to me. So I felt that connection immediately. And then I'm overlooking a situation that that has been transpiring. I've been a part of this situation for a while. I'm somewhat of an emissary or ambassador. I'm not quite sure the right terminology for it. We find out later that my race is Arcturian, and I'm going to tell you why I say that later. It's Arcturian, as everyone knows it, but they say that Arcturian, and that's actually in the last chapter of my book, how that came to me, is the correct pronunciation because it's more in tune with their vibration, which is also really interesting to me because when you asked me my name as that creature, I spent a while trying to sound it out. I said Throosh, Roosh, Oosh, and it was Throosh. Which is very interesting because the person who's transmitted a message to me said, no, they want to be called Arcturians. And that was very much like Throosh. So I was shocked and amazed at that. So anyway, so I'm an emissary or ambassador of the Arcturian race. They're in front of the courthouse type scenario. I'm overlooking, there's a glass pane in front of me, and this is a room that's open below me. People can't see me. I already know about the situation. There are human looking creatures. They look all a little bit like Jesus with the white robes and long hair. And people have, when I've told them this story, they've suggested that's the Pleiadians, and it quite easily could be, for what I understand. And then in the beginning, I don't really call the other race of beings that were so prevalent reptilians. I call them lizards because I just didn't want to go down that reptilian history. But it was in their nature. They weren't necessarily, you know, violent, out for blood type creatures, but it was in their nature to own and control and take, and we were living in a, and we still are, but we were definitely more so even living in a free will society where everything was allowed. And the human looking Pleiadian creatures, and these are not green reptilians, these are all these big blue bold warriors. They're dark smoky blue color, and they all had helmets and horns and armor type things on them. They were all lords of their own territories. And basically the decision that was being made was what to do, because everyone was aware that it was a free will universe. Everyone, and they didn't use universe either, because that had lots of connotations to it that my mind processing this didn't like. It was bigger than that, and I kept using the word space because in this brain, which is used to process the information coming through, universe has very defined settings to it. What does that mean? Galaxy, universe, et cetera, et cetera. And this was grander than universe, but it was everything that exists. And so the Pleiadians, or human creatures, were trying to figure out how to stop the reptilian creatures from taking and hurting and harming and changing everything, because they were doing destruction in their path while still allowing this free will universe. So they were about to go to war, but no one wanted to at all. No one wanted to go to war. They didn't feel it was the right thing to do, but they knew that these other beings had to be stopped. So that was the juncture that I showed up at. And I already, as this being, knew the history of the situation. I was kind of thrown into the middle of it. I knew the history of it. Obviously, at that point in time, being that creature, Thrush, I didn't know how it was going to turn out. But I sure found out. So,
you know, one of the things that I remember so much was you describing your physical form, and then you had a companion. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, basically we were from what was, I say, pre-Arcturian world, because it wasn't as people describe it. Obviously, I've done tons of research since all of this came through, and we were very much energy beings, and everything, our world, was light and creation and energy, and whatever you wanted would manifest, and it would be through thought and intent and purpose. And so my friend and I, in this atmosphere, put on bodies, which were changeable and mutable. They were kind of shiny metallic. It's hard to describe, obviously, when you don't know some of that, but I keep thinking of a metallic leather handbag type skin. And it went from this cyan, beautiful cyan blue, and then parts of it were rust and parts of it were gold, and the feet had little hoofs and type things. But it was definitely changeable, just like was everything in my world back then.
Mm-hmm. And your companion?
Yeah, same thing. I could feel them close to me, and even when they weren't close, we were completely connected, and they had a form, but it was a very, not a specific form. They kind of came to me. I saw myself as an energy being, as did the other being, but it was kind of amorphous almost. And it was only when Candace asked in the session to describe my body that I had to look at it and define something to it, because it didn't feel that way to me. It felt so energetic, and it felt like I had put on a body to come to this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, same for my companion and for my world. It was just beautiful energy. And the war that subsequently happened changed all of it, every bit of creation.
And you were describing the different groups down there, and the different, and it was almost heartbreaking how you were describing some of the thoughts that were going through the different groups' mind and what was to be done and why.
Yeah, so the warrior reptilian type creatures, and more showed up that afterwards, after this, we went to the next scene and war had been declared. They had shown up in a more traditional reptilian-looking space. But those big blue warrior creatures had complete disregard. They were just arguing and fighting amongst each other and everyone talking over each other. And their energy was so crass and loud to me that it was very difficult to hear and be around it. The human Pleiadians were worried. They knew they didn't want to do what they felt they had to do. They were banded together, trying to come up with a solution. You could see them energetically. This wasn't apparent watching them, but energetically they were like wringing their hands and, doubtful. And that's what we find out. Like, this whole thing without doubt could have had a different outcome. And I don't know whether that's true or not, but that was the lesson that I had learned out of it for me. And then there was another creature that were in the middle, and they were quiet. They were living substance. I can't imagine what they were. I haven't heard or seen creatures like that. They were green and kind of scaly, slimy, but I felt the energy of thousands of people behind them. It was like they were set up watching for a whole contingency of other people that couldn't be in the room. And so they were very quiet and reticent, and I could feel the energy behind them of all of the people who didn't want this to go on, didn't want this confrontation to happen. And there was a little bit of fear there. But yeah, it was a terse, tough situation. And Candace had asked, like, do they know you're there? I'm like, no, they don't know I'm there. Do they know what you think? I'm like, yes, repeatedly. I've gone and told them what I think repeatedly. And then Candace had asked, does it make a difference? And I'd say, no, it doesn't make a difference. These creatures are not going to stop. It's just the way they're built. It's the way they're wired almost genetically to be taking and taking and taking and controlling and, you know, not caring about the repercussions of it. So it was a tough, tough moment.
Mm-hmm. And so then we move on, and what do we find out next?
We found out war had been declared and no one was happy about any of it, except some of the warriors, and they weren't even happy. They just went on with it. And when I saw the mass group of reptilian type creatures, they were all different. They looked different. There were different colors, different sizes, different shapes. I could easily feel, since I was an energy being, I could feel that not all of them wanted necessarily to go along with a war or in a big fight or any of that, but they did. They did because they were supposed to. And that was when you just see, like, not nobody, but a lot of beings that existed never wanted this to happen, yet it happened and changed the vibration of all that was. And that's where we went to my home, which at that point I didn't even know was Arcturian. At that point, it was this huge, highly vibrational planet far away. It was kind of in creation and kind of energy. It was one of those interesting, higher dimensional things that we in 3D don't know too much about, other than our visits. And that had changed. And Candace starts asking about the home after the war. And I said, well, it's changed. The vibration is blue. It's much lower than it was. And I thought I was talking about a really repressed place. And it seemed that a lot of restrictions had to be put on everything because of what happened. The vibration of all that exists fell with all the fighting and the war and all of that. And everything changed. And there had to be limits put on things just for everyone's survival. Mm. So, yeah, it was pretty bleak for a while, but the good news, since I'm talking and it's going, the show's going quickly, it doesn't end there. There is a great outcome to all this, because we did go back a couple of months later and answer some questions from this session, and I don't think we intended to do that on the second QHHT session, but we ended up there anyway.
Yeah, we did. You know, one of the things, before you talk about the second session or some of the things that, you know, how this has changed your life, you know, one of the things that I thought you might talk about is how your higher self talked about the fact that there needed to be a little bit of a warrior aspect brought to life in your own life. And, you know, it was very interesting to watch and listen to yourself tell yourself, you know, your higher self tell yourself about this.
I'm still fighting myself with it, yes.
Yes. If you could discuss that a little bit, and then what it was like to hear your higher self and some of the things that your higher self said to you that maybe surprised you, and other things that, you know, aligned, and what was that like?
Yeah. Well, I have this interesting relationship with my higher self, because sometimes I know it's there. sometimes it overrides my mind's decisions. And I talk about that a little bit in the last chapter of my book, when I want to go do something and my higher self has taken over and it's dragging me to the psychic fair that I really don't want to go to, but I know to listen to it at this point in my life. And of course, something beautiful turns out because of it. There's a message that came through that was amazing, and it's still helping shape my life. But so you hear your higher self, and these are your internal battles that you know exist to some degree. Like, I know that I've hidden all of this and denied my true nature and not standing up for who I was even as a person, hiding all of these ET things. And then the higher self is saying, yeah, you need to go out there and be a spiritual warrior and, you know, show everyone, not everyone, but not for anyone else but myself, you know, to stand up for what's right, stand up for what needs to happen for everyone. I'm here on this planet, just like all of us, to do a specific thing. We all didn't get thrown here, although a lot of people think that, without your decision to be here. And we all had reasons and accomplishments and things that we wanted to do here. And I've had many messages show up throughout my life from strangers when I wasn't listening. People would just walk up to me in the random street and say to me, I have a message for you from your guides. You need to get to work. And I'm like, oh, that again. So here I am in this QHHT session. It's just shown me this life as this ambassador who was probably a little more reticent than I should have been. And had I stepped forward, just like the Pleiadians and everyone else, and stopped this and had understanding of, you know, the light and what it, the power behind it, and not had doubt that some warring creature was going to win, or having doubt that our abilities weren't enough to change everything. So, the higher self is like, you need to be a warrior and stand up for what is right. And of course, that's still an internal struggle, getting the book out, moving through, changing other things in my life till I'm 100% in that place of, I own this, this is me, this is my life, and I am here. And so, yeah, it's those higher struggles that you want to hear, and you keep moving forward. Otherwise, why be here? It's the spiritual journey. And I think there's so many ways to get there. And I think we need to use everything that shows up to get past that ourselves, and then we can turn around and make a difference. If we're making a difference with ourselves, we can make a difference on the planet and with everyone. Not that it's our job to change everyone, but we add to that light. It's all the parts that make the whole. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it was amazing. Oh, go ahead.
how did your life, that interim time, you know, the time between the first session and the second session. So we'd already gotten, you know, excited enough about, you know, wanting to create the video trailer, and hopefully, you know, in the future, the whole video story about your discoveries, your connection and your relationship with the ETs. And then there was that interim time, and then your second session. So what was that interim time like, and how did the second session change things? And what was the main thing that happened in that session for you?
I think it was the interim time was very much acceptance, really having to I'd spent over 40 years of my life running from all of this, and here it is all laid out with even more history than I imagined. And a plan from my higher self, who told me there would be books, as well as a great old friend of mine who told me there would be books. And I was like, no way, there's no way. And to develop as an energy worker and a light worker, and that I'm a channel for these beings, not necessarily a medium channel with messages, but energetically and with information and downloads and things like that. And it was just accepting all of that into my world, which is a huge 180 degree shift. I was already struggling with, you know, the duality of my lives. There's this other internal world, this creative being with all these otherworldly things happening to on a regular basis, whether I liked it or not. And then there was the one who was trying to live by the standards my family raised me by and what society expects. So there was so much acceptance of really trying to assimilate and let it all sink in, and not on a mental level, but on a much deeper understanding than mental. I mean, you can tell yourself stories all day long, but it has to be deeper than the mind. The mind is where we get trapped all the time. So, of course, I show up for the second session, and I want to understand. I'm going deeper into. I'm less fearful to explore energy technologies and things like that, because I'm not terribly afraid my childhood aggressors are going to show up anymore now that I have a bigger understanding of what that was all about. And so I have a lot of questions about some of the childhood memories and some of the energy technologies and things like that that I've been working on as the assimilation was happening in those, I think it was 4 or 5 months. I think it was from August to December, whatever that is. So when we start to go back into talk about more so ascension and what's going on with the whole world, universe, galaxy, space, all of space, and how what happens on Earth affects every bit of it. And that was timely. I mean, at the time, like, oh, great, here we go again. But of course, it was perfectly aligned and perfectly attuned for exactly what needed to happen. So we start going back and we find out that really, because the war was over so many, I don't know how long ago, and really that what's keeping us trapped here on Earth is exactly what I've just been talking about, the conditioning, and we keep ourselves trapped and all of that. Like, they did their work really well to keep us stuck into our limited selves. We all need to expand and grow and learn how to go beyond our belief systems and our minds and the littleness that we think we are. And that's what the second session was about. And it really showed me how physically it took us, I think they said there are 8 worlds, planets. I think we said there were 3 that are little pinpoints on a map that they know about. One is less developed than ours. One is a watery world. And I'm not sure I visited the 3rd one. But that because what happens on Earth is critical, because if we all raise and ascend, all of creation does. It's not just us. So much is dependent on us because we're at that pivotal moment. Those worlds are not in the same place. They're not as, they're limited, but they're not personally with all the beings there and that have incarnated there. It's in a different realm. So it was really critical, and that's why all eyes and apparently help has been sent to Earth.
I just love that part of the session. Both those two concepts, Melina, they're just so important. You know, I'm sure you, as we all out there hear, well, you know, Earth, this little planet, we're way on the edge of nowhere. How important can we be, right? And you find out how completely, far away from that idea is, and that there's some other planets that are playing along and involved in this whole thing, but we are pivotal.
We are, and I think we didn't necessarily ask in words why. We were more shown that our vibration affects all of it, and we are pivotal, and that's why individually we all came down here to be those spiritual warriors. And I talk about resonance, and this is something that actually I have written a chapter on in my forthcoming book, and it's about resonance. And when you get into physics a little bit, because of course I started one of my spiritual journeys through all of that. I was raised in a Catholic church, and unfortunately did nothing, or fortunately or unfortunately did nothing for me by the time I was old enough to realize, and turned to science. So I very much studied physics as much as I could, and I had to take a lot with my biochemistry degree to just do my degree. So anyway, it was fascinating. And there's a law of resonance that says when two bodies are two wave frequencies, and energy is wave and matters are energy and all that, are in harmony, the system gains energy, basically. And it's like when an opera singer shatters a glass, the voice, the treble in the voice and the glass go into harmonic resonance, and energy is brought into that system, and it raises the frequency of all of it. And I believe that's what's happening here. When we go into our higher self harmonic resonance, the whole system gains energy and it lifts everything. And I really believe that's what's going on right now, and that's what ascension's about, and that's what we're here to do.
You know, and this kind of brings us full circle, doesn't it, Milena? I can just hear you say, and I read in your book, you know, again, but I'm only nine. I'm only one person.
Right? Every single person plays their part. That's what the session said and showed us and spelled out in those worlds. Every single person, whatever they're here to do, is that part, is that piece.
It's such a beautiful way to kind of come to the wrapping up of this show. And as I said that, and as you're responding to it, my body is just vibrating in the biggest way. And for me, that says, you know, that's truth, and that's where we're headed, and that's what's going on. And this is what the living light vibration is. And so you're working on the new books that will what? What are the new books about, Milena?
They're about showing, well, the first one, this was all one book. It started with the ET stories, and then there was just so much information being pulled in that I had to separate it. So Living in the Light Vibration is to help everyone understand that they are multidimensional beings. They can travel into other dimensions without using psychedelic drugs. I've never done one in my life. They can raise their vibration and access information. They can break the patterns and habits that keep us bound. Everyone will, explaining how everyone can feel and sense and work with energy, because that's what we're made out of. We are multidimensional creatures of consciousness. Consciousness is our field. Everything comes out of consciousness into creation, which starts with energy and vibration, waveform, energy. And so the first book is really for everyone to understand that in themselves, in their body, and to some practical exercises on how they do that. The second one, the second book, which I've just started, is taking us to higher level dimensional healing. And then the third one is really how to help Earth and all of that. So it's really happening, how to truly live to the fullest of our bodies and souls and beings, everything that we are. And that's what that's what my purpose is here. This is what I've been searching for my whole life. This is what I've been working with in the background, even though I had fears going on about stuff. This is my exploration of this third dimensional world. And so that's what's coming through in the books.
Well, that's just wonderful. Well, Milena, thank you so much for joining me. I knew this hour would just fly by. Will you tell our listeners how to find the wonderful book, Ancient Entanglements, and find out more about you?
Okay, so Ancient Entanglements is available with, it should be most retailers. You'll probably have to order it online. It's definitely available on Amazon. And you can reach me at anciententanglements@gmail.com. That's my personal email address. And Living in the Light Vibration should be coming, hopefully the next book or the first of that trilogy, in April or early May.
So. Okay. Well, thank you again, Milena, and we'll be talking real soon.
It went so quickly, I can't even imagine.
Again, thank you. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And please join us next time on New Earth Journey Radio, where Katya Turner will be joining me and telling us about her project called Inspired Pregnancy. And for now, goodbye, and all shall be well.